Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing. It's already been just being in this place this evening and sensing the presence of God. What a blessing for the camps and the young people getting away and having that touch their lives. And that's why we have camps for the young people, just to give them an opportunity to spend some time around the things of God in a controlled environment. And many of us here tonight were impacted in our teen years as we went to camp. And one of the reasons we're still in church tonight. And so praise the Lord for the camping program. But it's good to know, though, that I can send my youth leaders without pay next year. And amen. That'll help the budget. That'll help the budget right there. Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. And buddy, I might need to start putting Hallie's name on your check as well. Is that right? Okay. Revelation chapter 9. The Bible takes us from eternity past all the way through eternity future. Everything that God would have us to know about the past and the present and the future is found in the Word of God. And you can trust the Word of God because it is truth. And you're trying to figure out what is truth. The Bible's truth. God is true. And you can trust in the words of God. And so we have been going through the entire Bible. We've been in the book of Revelation now for some time and just studying what God has given to us in this book of prophecy. From chapter 4 to the end of the book of Revelation, it's future prophecy. The next event in prophecy is the rapture of the church. Everything else has been fulfilled that has been prophesied throughout the Bible. And so that's the next event that we're looking for. And what we've been studying in chapter 6 through chapter 19 is a seven-year tribulation period. What's going to take place during the seven-year tribulation period? Now, that could start as early as tonight. The rapture, everything's in place for that. And the church could be raptured up tonight. We don't know when that's coming. We know that God has a time appointed for that. And we know what it's going to take place. The Bible tells us that as far as when, we don't know, but it could be. And we are to live every day of our lives thinking that this could be the day. And if you're living right and in the right relationship with the Lord, can I tell you, it's going to be a blessed day. It's going to be a day when we get to see our Savior. It's going to be a day when we get to be called out with all the rest of the saints that have passed on before us. And we're going to come together. It's going to be a hallelujah reunion day as we meet together in the sky to always and to ever be with the Lord. And so, praise the Lord, that could start tonight. If so, then some of the events that we have been studying concerning what's going to take place in the book of the Revelation, the judgments, could be here within a few years. I think as you look around, the world is set up for a one-world religion. Set up for everybody's going to agree on the same things. And it's going to be against the law to go opposite that, to preach against that. Whatever it might be, it's going to, the one-world religion is getting set in place. The one-world government with the finances to start with, all those things. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist, amen, to see how all these things are taking place globally that will go hand in hand with what the Word of God teaches concerning the tribulation time. And even some of the things we're going to be looking at tonight, we can see it happening. We can see it taking place. And so stand with me tonight. Let's go ahead and read Revelation chapter 9. God has a purpose for what He has revealed. There's a purpose for it. God wants us to understand what's going to take place in the tribulation period. It's going to be a blessing as you read it to realize I'm not going to be here. But when you know it's reality and it's as close as just a few years away, it could be as close as a few years away, then we ought to be working even that much harder to help those that we love and those that we have an opportunity to witness to save them from going through a time of tribulation and get them saved so that they will be raptured up with the church. Amen? I mean, that ought to be a motivation for us to go soul winning. It ought to be a motivation for us to take the gospel to every creature and to as many people as we can reach. It ought to be a motivation for us to get behind and support the local New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church. Amen? that's going to stand for the truths of the Word of God. It's going to preach the Word of God. It's going to encourage people to come so they can hear these truths being preached. So knowing that's going to take place ought to motivate us, and possibly that's the purpose for why He has revealed it to us for this church age. But as we look in the book of Revelation, good men differ on some of the interpretations. I don't think they differ on the doctrines of it, but the interpretations of it. And you might have heard something a little bit different. If it's not going to really change or make a difference in the doctrine, why bother trying to argue over it? I don't argue over the book of Revelation. You know, I just try to make it as practical as possible. For me to understand it, I trust that if it's practical for me, it's going to be practical for you as well. But chapter 6 through chapter 19, revealing the tribulation period, the seven seals opens this up, the seven seals revealing the judgment, the seventh seal turns into the seven trumpets, and that's what we've been studying here, the seven trumpet judgments. We studied the first four, now we're looking to study the fifth trumpet judgment, which is found in verses 1 through 11. The fifth trumpet judgment, which will take place sometime during those 7 years. There's some that differ on just when the seal judgments and trumpet judgments and all the... It's going to happen in that seven-year period. Just understand that. Don't have to break it down and just know it's going to happen. Amen? And so let's look here at starting in verse 1. The Bible said, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there come out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And upon them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was of the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you tonight, again, we thank you for the precious word that you preserve for us. Now, I pray as we study in this book of Revelation that you'd give us the wisdom and insight that we have need of in order to understand what you have for us and how it can help us and how we are to apply the truths and the events in our own lives. I pray tonight, God, that if there's anyone here that's not saved, that just understanding the truth of the tribulation period would cause them to want to be saved and to seek out from the Word of God what everyone must do it in order to be saved. Just pray that you would meet with us and bless through the preaching and the teaching of thy word at this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Three things revealed in this fifth judgment. Three things that we're going to spend a little bit of time just explaining and trying to help you to better understand this fifth seal trumpet judgment, rather. The things are a fallen star from heaven. The first thing that we find here is a fallen star from heaven. The second thing is a bottomless pit. And the third thing would be the locusts. Those are the three things that stand out concerning this fifth trumpet judgment. And the first of it that... Now remember that John is seeing this in a vision. God has given John visions of what's going to take place in the future. John had this vision some 2,000 years ago as he was on the island of Patmos. We studied some of that, and Jesus came to him and revealed himself and revealed the church age to him. And now he's revealing the things that will take place after the church age, the rapture of the church, and then what will take place at that time. And so as he's revealing this vision to John, the first thing that John sees that he reveals to him is, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. Now, we understand that as we study the Scriptures, that Jesus is referred to as the bright and morning star in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16. That's not the star he's talking about here. Jesus is referred to as a bright and morning star, not a fallen star. Bright and morning star. Praise the Lord for that. The angels of the seven churches, the angels of the seven churches are the messengers of each one of the seven churches, are referred to as stars in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20. These are the messengers of God to each one of the churches, if you will, the pastors that will preach the Word of God. They're referred to as stars. He's not talking about those, but just understanding that that's what he's revealing there. But this is a fallen star and referred to as him. It's not an obstacle. It's not an object, rather. It is a him. Look what it says there. I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. He didn't have it, but he was given it at this time. But a fallen star. John saw a vision of the original fall of Satan. When you look at everything concerning stars, he's not talking about the star of the seven churches, the seven stars. He's not talking about Jesus Christ because he's not fallen. He's a bright and morning star. But this is and Jesus has the keys. This star that he's talking about here is a fallen star, a fallen angel that had to be given the key. He didn't have the key up until this time. There's three passages of Scripture that reveal Satan falling from heaven. Isaiah chapter 14, very familiar passage of Scripture there that many will refer back to in the Old Testament, and Isaiah's prophecy concerning Satan. In Isaiah chapter 14, and Satan is referred to as Lucifer. And you got to be careful because in some of the perverted versions, they'll replace that Lucifer with a bright and morning star. And think, well, there's no difference. Well, there's a huge difference. This is Lucifer. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ. How art thou fallen from heaven? We find that Satan fell from heaven before the creation of man, because he was there to tempt Adam and Eve. Before the creation of man, we find, and I believe that John here, God has given him a vision of the original fall of Satan. As we look here in Isaiah, as he gave the vision to Isaiah in his prophecy, he says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now remember that phrase there, to the sides of the pit. That bottomless pit is what it's talking about there. And we'll refer back to that later on when we look at the bottomless pit. Another passage of Scripture that reveals Satan as being a fallen star is Jesus speaking to the disciples in Luke in chapter 10. Luke in chapter 10. Verses 17 down to verse 19. After he sent out his disciples and the 70 to go soul winning, to go knocking on doors and winning the lost to Christ, And the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They was able to do all things through Christ. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, referring to Satan, the fallen Lucifer, as being the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Praise the Lord for that. So Jesus here is revealing to them that Satan is that fallen angel, and he fell from heaven to the earth, and he is their enemy. He's the one that they're going to have to worry about, the adversary. And then if you look over in the book of Revelation, in chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12, and we'll briefly touch on this later on as well, but Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7, the Bible says, and there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So we know that there was not a Satan was one of the archangels. He had other angels underneath him. And we find here that says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we find here the star that John on the island of Patmos sees and now is revealing concerning this fifth trumpet judgment. It starts out with understanding where Satan has the power in order to release this judgment upon the earth. But Satan would be that star that it's talking about. One fallen star. He was given a key. If you go back over there with me in the book of Revelations in chapter 9, we know, all right, we understand who he says, I saw a star fall from heaven. God allowed him to see the original fall of Lucifer because he's the one during this tribulation period is going to exalt himself as God. He's going to exalt himself like he said he tried to do in heaven. He's going to do here on earth. As Isaiah prophesied, the mentality of the devil, the attributes of the devil, they haven't changed. And so now during this tribulation period, without the Holy Spirit's presence here and God limiting certain things, but Satan will be placed on a throne. And he himself will look to rule and be like the Most High God. Have this world look to him as such. And so now we know who that is. That John sees the star that's ushering in this fifth trumpet judgment. And he says, I see a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit. It's where God cast him to. This is the place of hell. This is not the eternal hell. This is a holding place of hell. Many believe this place to be somewhat to the center of the earth. It's a spiritual place, but it's always talked about in the earth. This bottomless pit. Don't know how all that works. I just know what the Bible talks about, how the Bible describes it. Heaven is a different dimension. Eternal hell will be a different dimension. Right now, there is a bottomless pit. There is a place for... There's torment day and night. There is a place where the spirits of those that die without Christ are cast, sent, and waiting a final judgment. The white throne judgment we'll be getting into later on as well. The white throne judgment is the judgment where God will open up eternal Gehenna hell, a place where he's already cast Satan into, and he will cast all of those unbelievers, all those who rejected Jesus Christ for an eternity. But right now, the spirits of that individual goes to this place, this temporary place of hell known as Hades hell, a temporary place where there are some demons that are bound there. We find this is a Satan's abode. This is where he conducts all of his business from. He has access to and from. And so we find here Now Jesus gives him a key to this bottomless pit. A key. This current place of hell. A place where Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. A place that he has access to and works through today, but yet he will be bound there for 1,000 years until he is cast into Gehenna hell, which is an eternal place. Now, we understand that because Revelation chapter 20 and verses 1 through 3, and we'll study this as we get on into our study here in the book of Revelations. But Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 3, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit. There's that key. Someone has control of this bottomless pit. And it's not Satan until Satan is given a key. Evidently, he's taken the key back. And now we find that he has this key and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. In this place of Hades, this place of a temporary hell, where Satan has access to go to and fro, but at this time, he is going to be bound in this place. So it is a place where other spirits and other fallen angels have been bound. Satan himself will be bound 1,000 years. That's the millennial reign of Christ during that 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Once you go to Gehenna hell, there is no loosing from Gehenna hell. There is no escaping from Gehenna hell. That is eternal hell. But that's not going to be opened up until the end. Until then, there is a place. It's not a place of purgatory. There is no such place in the Bible. It is a place of hell. It is a pit. The bottomless pit is how the Bible describes it. It's a current place of hell. Some spirits have been kept bound here by God. And these spirits that have been kept bound here, these fallen angels and whatever spirits that were actually following Lucifer and are bound there, at this time, God is going to allow Satan to loose these spirits that have been bound. Now we know that, again, Jude, the book right before Revelation. Jude, verse 6. Jude writes, and the angels which kept not their first estate, that was to worship and glorify and praise God, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. So there have been certain types of spirits, fallen angels, that have been bound that during this church age that have not been released. There are demons that have access to the spiritual realm of things in this life. Satan has access to the spiritual realm of this age, during this church age. And there is spiritual warfare that we battle on a daily basis. The subconscious mind is the closest thing that we know to that spiritual warfare. But these certain angels, these certain spirits have been bound there. Peter refers to them. Look in 2 Peter. 2 Peter in chapter 2 in verse 4. Amen. Everybody following me? Got to put on your thinking cap and just realizing God has revealed this to us. There's a reason. He wants us to know some of these things. The reality of these things. And 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 says this. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. So we know that this bottomless pit is referred to as hell. It's not Gehenna hell, because Gehenna hell has not been opened yet. That will be opened to receive Satan for eternity and all of at the judgment seat at the great white throne. And so he says, cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And so as we go back into our text here, concerning this fifth trumpet judgment, there is a bottomless pit. The one who is now in control of this place, the one who holds possession of the keys, is Christ. Remember what it says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18? I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell. So who has the keys? Jesus. During this fifth trumpet judgment, he's going to release the keys to Lucifer. And Lucifer is going to unleash, loosen spirits that have never before been loosed to attack mankind, to work during this tribulation period. You think there's spiritual warfare today? We've got the help of the Holy Spirit of God who limits Satan. The Holy Spirit of God is raptured up with the church. And not only will the earth have the demons that are very much actively involved in spiritual warfare today, but there is going to be some that had not been released that during this time will be released. That's what the Bible says. Jesus allows Satan to open and release these to judge, to be part of the judgment of the earth. As we understand, God does not cause evil things to happen, but He has to allow them. Most of the times when God would judge the nation of Israel, we'd go into the Old Testament, we'd start reading the Old Testament, and when Israel would turn away from God and God would warn them and He would send the prophets to tell them, you got to turn back to God or there is judgment coming. What God would do would raise up, allow another heathen nation to grow to world power. And then He would allow this sinful nation to devour as part of His judgment. It happened over and over again. Until finally He took Israel into captivity. He raised up the great Chaldeans. They raised up the Assyrians. God didn't do it Himself, but He had to allow it to take place. And He allowed their evil to grow. And He allowed them to come and to actually judge the nation of Israel. Can I tell you, God does not cause evil things to happen. He cannot do any evil. But He does allow it. He has to allow it, or it wouldn't happen. So He allows Satan. He has reserved these certain types of spirits that He only controls. And Jesus gives that control, that key, that control to Lucifer to loosen, to release these on this present earth. The next thing we look to is what comes out, or referred to as locusts. Now, in the judgment of Egypt, one of the judgments was locusts, and they devoured all the vegetation. These are going to be a little different than that. Look how it describes them. Verse 3, it says, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And to them were given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God. And therefore, as God protected the Israelites when He was bringing the plagues down upon Egypt, God controls what takes place. So, locusts. It's what John could use to identify what he saw. What the Spirit of God revealed to him, what he could use to identify. Are these literal insects? Now, some, this is one of those arguing points, the different interpretations. Some would say, yes, I believe that there are literal locusts on the face. It could be. But in the description that the Bible gives, I don't think it is. I'm not going to argue over it. But there's some things that it reveals to us about these locusts that would make me to believe it's more of what's taken place on that certain, on the earth at that day, and what we already understand, what's taken place today. Some kind of nuclear weapons? Some type of weapons that we already have? Possibly like attack Black Hawk helicopters. We see the description of some of this. Now, are they under control of man? No, they're under control of Satan. And not only Satan, but these demons that have been released with them, these locusts, whether they're able to be seen or not with the naked eye, I don't know. If the people alive there are going to see these demons, are going to see all these, I don't believe so. I think it's going to come as somewhat natural. It could be through nuclear warfare. It could be through all the different things that he would have saw, and these helicopters with the tails and shooting these bombs and seeing how the sting of the... And there's certain types of warfare to where it just attacked man and didn't kill the vegetation. Again, these things, I'm not going to argue over these things. These things, different good men differ in different their interpretation of some of these things. But let me give you, let's look here and see how the Bible describes these locusts. Verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Well, now I've never seen a locust look like a horse. But again, this is coming from what they had in their vocabulary and what they had to describe. They had locusts, they had horses. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the face of men. Maybe could have seen into the cockpit there and seen a man flying this thing. I don't know. But that's what the Bible says. Had faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. I know sometimes they put some pretty wild paint jobs on some of these helicopters and some of these attack planes and whatever, to where it would look like the teeth of lion. I don't know if that's what he saw, if that's what's going on. We could see that happening today. Bringing somebody back from 2,000 years ago and seeing what takes place in a warfare today. And how would they describe it? And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. I've never been around an attack helicopter. I know Brother Craig over here used to fly one, and I think he would probably tell you it was pretty noisy. If you're around these things. I don't know that he would describe it as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle, because I don't think he's ever heard a sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. We know that there is a demon possession here, because we find that they come from out of hell. And these, what's taken place during this time is a spiritual battle, and Satan is unleashing all of his power upon man. May or may not be visible. But they have power, verse 3. They obey commands, verse 4. Unlike insects, they do not attack vegetation. They cannot attack the redeemed. They inflict much pain. But all of it together, this one last thing is, they have a king. Satan himself is going to set himself up like God. Through demon possession of the beast and the Antichrist. The Bible says in verse 11 as we close, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, the fallen angel, Satan himself, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Hebrew Abaddon means destruction. The Greek Apollyon means destroyer. Very similar. It's the same devil who is referred to as, in the Bible in Ephesians 6:12, the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's the same devil that Jesus says is the prince of this world in John 14:30. And now he has even more spiritual help, spiritual demons that will be released at that time that have not been released up to this time. God wants us to know the power that Satan has. You see it. And even today, Satan is very powerful today. There are spiritual demons today. There's spiritual warfare that we fight today. It's not going to be like it's going to be then. But we have that battle today. Satan's able to put suggestions into our mind. He's able to bring temptations. Every sin that we've ever committed is stored in our minds. Stored in a subconscious mind. You don't always have access to it. Sometimes it'll come out in the middle of a dream. Sometimes it'll come out in the middle of the day and you think, where did that come from? Every experience you've ever had, every feeling that you've ever felt, good or bad, is stored up in your subconscious mind. Satan, through a spiritual warfare, has access to what you've given him. He doesn't know how you're going to respond because that's future, but he knows how you've responded in the past. He knows that sin that so easily besets you because you have revealed it to him. And he's able to come and put those thoughts in your mind, put those suggestions. It's not sin until you accept it as your own. Your free will. He can't force you, but he can tempt you to accept that as your own. A subconscious mind. Spiritual warfare. Before we lose a physical battle, we lose a spiritual battle. It's going to be intensified beyond what we could ever imagine during that tribulation period. God wants us to know the power of Satan then. He wants us to know the power of Satan today. That's why he says that we have battled the rulers of the darkness of this world. That Satan is the prince of this world. But in closing, he tells us this, something all of us should know and all of us should keep on our minds. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, let me just read it to you. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because, how can we overcome spiritual battles? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What a blessing to know. Through Christ, we are victorious. Through the Spirit of God dwelling inside of me, Satan cannot touch me. He cannot harm me because I have the protection of God upon my life. And greater is he that is in me. As long as I keep yielding to that Spirit of God, if you've been here on Sunday morning, Sunday school, especially the fruit of the Spirit, as long as you keep yielding to God, he will produce all of those things through you, in you. We have a battle. We battle today. Not anything close. What's going to be during the tribulation period? You don't want to be there. Bottom line, God reveals it to us, helps us to know, I don't want to be there. And I don't want anyone else to be there. I'm going to give myself to helping as many people as I can to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. To have that very same presence of God dwelling in them that will give them the victory over the influences of the devil. What a blessing to know that God's making that available to us today. It's available to whosoever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that'll go all the way up till the rapture of the church. And then between the rapture of the church and the next 7 years, these judgments are going to take place. God wants us to know. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. That's the fifth judgment. The fifth judgment. Reality. Sometimes you read it and you say, well, what's he talking about? How's all that symbolisms and what all? I think you just make it practical and help you. Break it down. God's given it to us so that we might know these things. He has a purpose for what he has revealed. When you know this, it'll help all of us to be more determined to do what God's called us to do, to represent him and to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the revelation that you have given to us concerning the future events. Help us to keep this in perspective. And God, help us to use this wisdom and knowledge so that we can serve you today as you would have us to serve you. If there's anyone here that does not know you as Savior, God, I pray tonight they would come and receive you before it's eternally too late. And God, if there's anyone that you'd have us to reach, I pray that we'd be open to being led, directed by your Holy Spirit to go to be a witness to whoever, to try to help them to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as well. Blessing this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.